High temperatures today will range from the mid-70s across portions of Iowa and Wisconsin to the mid-90s in southeastern Missouri. Lows overnight will range from the upper 40s in northern Wisconsin to near 70 degrees in southeastern Missouri and western Kentucky. The forecast for east central Illinois this afternoon, partly sunny and breezy with scattered showers and thunderstorms, the high 92. The wind from the southwest at 15 to 20 miles per hour with gusts to 30 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms this evening, the low 63. The wind out of the northwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high of 85 and a light southwest wind. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low of 63 and a light southeast wind. Thursday, partly sunny with a chance of showers and thunderstorms and a high in the mid-80s. Thursday night, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 60s. And the outlook Friday through Saturday, mostly clear with highs in the upper 80s and lows around 70. At noon central time, temperatures across Illinois and Indiana ranged from the mid-70s to the upper 80s. At Moline, it was 74 degrees. Rockford reported 78 degrees in light rain. At O'Hare, 84. Bloomington, 83. It was 86 at Mattoon, 88 at Carbondale. In South Bend and in Terre Haute, 88 degrees at the top of the hour. 89 degrees at both Lafayette and Indianapolis. Willard Airport reported 86 degrees at the top of the hour with a dew point of 67. It was partly sunny. The relative humidity 52%. The wind out of the southwest at 21 miles per hour. The barometric pressure 30.15 and falling. And at 12:39, 87 degrees in Urbana on the campus of the University of Illinois. Over the past couple of weeks, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration approved two new drugs for the treatment of hepatitis C, a virus that can cause liver damage and cancer. As Illinois Public Radio's Veronique LaCapra reports, the new drugs should greatly improve cure rates for the more than 3 million Americans affected by this potentially fatal disease.
Hepatitis C is a blood-borne virus. Before 1992, when widespread blood screening began, some people got the disease through blood transfusions or organ transplants. Today, the most common cause of infection is sharing needles for injection drug use. It can take years or even decades for the virus to cause enough liver damage to produce symptoms. About three-quarters of Americans with hepatitis C don't know they have it.
People got their hepatitis C in the 60s and 70s and early 80s and now are having all these problems from it 20 and 30 years later.
Liver disease specialist Dr. Bruce Bacon of St. Louis University says about 20% of people exposed to hepatitis C recover from the virus on their own without treatment.
The flip side of that is that about 80% of people, 80-85% of people, do get chronic hepatitis. And of those patients, 20-30% of people develop cirrhosis, and of those, 2-3% of patients develop liver cancer.
Worldwide, there are six different strains, or genotypes, of hepatitis C. St. Louis University researcher Dr. Adrian D. Buscelli says that in the U.S., about 70% of patients have the genotype 1 form of the virus.
And it turns out that genotype 1 is the most hard to treat.
For the past decade, treatment has meant a year-long regimen of two drugs, an immune system booster called pegylated interferon, and an antiviral medication known as ribavirin. DiBuscelli says that two-drug treatment often hasn't worked for patients with the genotype 1 form of the virus.
In that genotype, only about 40% of patients get cured when they're treated with interferon and ribavirin.
In a clinical trial funded by the drug maker Vertex, DiBuscelli helped test how hard-to-treat genotype 1 patients responded when a new Vertex drug, telaprevir, was added to the current two-drug treatment.
The cure rates, or the rates of sustained virologic response, go from the 40% number that I mentioned in patients with genotype 1 to 75%.
Dr. Bacon led a clinical trial for a similar medication, Faseprevir, funded by that drug's developer, Merck. Bacon says adding bisoprolol to the standard 2-drug treatment significantly improved cure rates, even for patients who had been treated before and failed to recover.
In the treatment-experienced patients, those who hadn't responded or who had relapsed previously, the numbers are more like 20% with the standard therapy being retreated versus about 60 to 65% cure rate with the addition of bisoprolol.
The difference between what you can do with dual therapy and triple therapy is like night and day.
Dr. Barbara McGovern treats patients with hepatitis C at the Lemuel Shattuck Hospital in Boston. She was on an independent panel of experts that reviewed data on both drugs for the FDA. She says the new drugs do have some side effects. Bisoprolol can cause anemia and telaprevir a severe rash. But she believes their benefits outweigh their risks.
We always have to measure risks and benefits, but the amount of patients who are cured, and that's a very special word in infectious diseases, is so much higher.
The current 2-drug treatment costs on the order of $20,000. Adding the new drugs will likely double or triple that. But Dr. Adrian DiBascelli says it's worth it.
You save downstream by saving the costs of caring for patients with decompensated cirrhosis, liver cancer, liver transplantation, all of that. The last few months of life when you have liver failure is terribly, terribly expensive.
DiBascelli, Bacon, and McGovern all say there are even better drugs in the pipeline, but those won't get FDA approval for at least 3 to 5 years. Bisoprolol and telaprevir are already on their way to pharmacies. I'm Veronique LaCapra.
A box of long-forgotten letters from a West Central Illinois farmhouse appeared to have value simply for the old stamps on the envelopes. But as a Beardstown couple started reading through the letters, they uncovered a story from the Civil War. The letters between a husband and wife tell a tale of love and hardship. Rich Egger reports.
The box of letters passed through Wilbur Meyer's family over the decades and ended up in his hands.
I had a stamp collection, and I took a lot of the stamps off the envelopes, and I didn't pay attention to the letters or anything inside. And
he was the oldest of all of them over there.
This is Wilbur's wife, Peggy.
So his mother gave him the letters to take off the stamps, but nobody read the letters till about 10 years ago.
That's when the Meyers went through their attic, cleaning out stuff, and came across the old box of letters.
And that's when I found this one. And I said, what's this? It looks like, a black-edged letter. And I'd always heard that someone died in the military for a black-edged letter.
It was from September 1861. It was sent to Thomas Woof of the small West Central Illinois town of Concord. It informed him that his brother, William, had been killed in a battle at Wilson's Creek, Missouri. This piqued the Meyers' curiosity. As they took a closer look at the box's contents, they discovered 23 letters written by Thomas Woof and his wife, Lavinia, from 1862 to 1864. The Meyers were fascinated, but quickly discovered reading the letters was no simple task.
Some of the writing is very hard to read. It took a long time to try to decipher each one. And sometimes there's words in there that you still can't understand.
In addition, the quill pen ink has faded, and the penmanship style can be difficult to follow. They made photocopies of the letters, enlisted the assistance of Peggy's sister Connie, and started working to, as they said, decipher the letters. They learned Thomas Woof joined the 101st Illinois Infantry Regiment out of Jacksonville in 1862. Most of the regiment's soldiers were from Morgan County. Cass and Brown counties were also represented. But the letters go beyond mere facts and statistics.
I think the main reason maybe we pursued it in the first place was their love for God, each other, and country. Those things just come out in their letters when you read them. This wasn't a make-believe story like you see on TV. This was real.
What do the letters say?
Dear Lavinia, I hasten to write you a few lines as we are now near the railroad, and the mail is to leave here in the course of an hour or two. We are now about 25 miles from Columbus. We have in the last 9 days marched about 130 miles. I tired myself too much the first day, and since that time I have not been in as good health as I was when we left Clinton. Today we are resting and I feel better. My eyes are bad as we have been in timber country. Cyrus is well and is now sitting in my tent riding. The company is all in good health except Pete Johnson and Tom Thomas, which we left at Columbus as they were not in the best of health. Kiss all the dear children for me from your affectionate husband, Thomas B. Wolfe.
Cyrus, who's referred to in the letter, was Lovinia's brother. In another letter, Wolfe enclosed some evergreen leaves from the Cumberland Mountains. He said the leaves were typical of his and Lovinia's affection. Thomas Wolfe was killed in a battle at Peachtree Creek as the Union Army fought to take Atlanta, Georgia, on July 20, 1864. But word from the front was slow to arrive back home in those times. Lovinia wrote this letter to her husband Thomas 3 days later, not knowing he was already dead.
July 23, 1864, letter to Thomas from Lovinia. My dear husband, I received another letter from you today. This is the fourth letter I have had from you this week. I am very glad to hear from you so often. It makes the time pass so much faster when I hear from you often. There is only a week and 5 days more until the 4th of August. That's his birthday. I asked Valley today what would we do if Papa should never get home again, and she said she believed she would cry herself to death. And, oh, my love, it gave me a sad feeling, for I have always felt that you would be spared to return to your Lavinia and little ones and to do much good in this world. I have tried to live entirely in the hands of the Lord, knowing He can keep you from all evil wherever you may be. The little ones all send Papa kisses and lots of love. Goodbye, my loved one. May God bless you and bring you safe and soon home, is your loving wife's prayer, Lovinia Wolfe.
Lovinia died just 3 years later. Peggy Meyer has been unable to learn what caused her death. It's unusual to have letters from both the soldier and the wife who's back home. The Meyers say Thomas Wolfe's best friend, William Patterson, served in the same regiment as Wolfe. They believe he returned Lovinia's letters to her. The Meyers share the story of Thomas and Lovinia Wolfe through public presentations in which they read copies of the letters. Wilbur Meyer says the letters demonstrate the love between Thomas and Lovinia, and he says the sacrifices they made demonstrate their patriotism and love of country. Rich Egger reporting.
Support comes from Subaru of Champaign County, located on Route 45 in Savoy. Dedicated to preserving our planet, the Subaru Assembly Plant in Lafayette, Indiana, achieved zero landfill status, with nothing from its manufacturing efforts going into a landfill. It's part of what makes a Subaru a Subaru. SubaruofChampaign.com or 352-4700.